Mr. Young, Reel 4. We were talking about your time at Cully and looking at some conditions. So what about latrines? What do you dig latrine near the tank?
Or? Yes, went someplace and dug a hole. Did you see something going with trouble over there?
So each of you dug your own holes? But there wasn't a sort of communal latrine?
No, well, you see, you want to stop for long. A bit.
Now you mentioned burnt out tanks. Did you go and look at one?
No.
Were you aware that before then that the Shermans caught fire easily?
Oh, finest Ronson that was ever made.
Finest.
The finest Ronson cigarette lighter that was ever made.
Why did you call it that?
Because it went up just like that. Just like a cigarette lighter. Well,
and you knew that before?
Oh, aye. Well, we knew it after got to Normandy.
After you'd been in action, or yeah. Now, what about?
I was actually a little village called Shaw.
Well, that's where I want to go on. The first was Operation Epsom on the 26th of June 1944, and B Squadron was in the front with the recce troop in the advance on Shaw. What do you remember of that day? What briefing did you get? And what happened that day? This is the first time we're in action.
I don't remember much about the briefing, but. I remember I was in just outside Shaw, and I met a newspaper reporter. He was with Rail Express, Tommy Muirhead, and he asked us what we were getting on. That's one thing I remember.
What was he doing that far up?
He was reporting. And I don't know whether actually outside Shaw or next door to it, there was an M10 standing beside me, maybe the next door house there, and it got hit in 88, and there was a 76mm anti-tank gun and crew and all the rest of them. They were further away again, and they got all hit and armed, blown up. You see them bouncing up there. I think it was time to get moving. That's the first time I saw a tiger.
When did you see it? Where was it?
It was quite a bit away.
Had you been told about tigers? Did you know how strong they were?
I didn't know about them.
And what happened this time then? You saw it, what did you do?
Well, we got
or what did you and Truscott do?
We got away at the road.
Did you fire at it?
I don't think they fired at it. Maybe he did, but I don't remember.
Now, had you opened fire yet? Or had you not?
I don't know. I don't think so.
So he hadn't got any of his hits, you know, his claims in that time?
I'll tell you another incident that happened about the same time. Just after Shaw, we were going down a road and we got fired on. And the front tank with this couple of McHattie, they parried, and I drew up right behind them. And the tank at the back of it stalled, so I couldn't move. And the crew commander, they stole this to bail out, because we couldn't get the gun in. So that was the first time I left the tank. I left it with a spur on, of course, at the end of the valley. And we were on our own, and I went at the shore, and I was on my own feet then. And there were most of us, we more than many, annoyed.
That's the Nebelwerfers.
And they were annoyed at me.
What was it like?
They're flat in the nose, that's what made out of knife. They're flat. That's what made out of knife. And there was quite a number of trucks and tanks here, and that's the organised them to get moving to get out. And I got them out quite a bit away from the shore. And then I got another tank.
So your tank, the battery'd run down. And it was just left there. It was salvaged, but you didn't get it again.
I didn't get it again.
But you got another Firefly.
No, I got another Sienna. Until I got one back. And we didn't have anything in the tank, really, for anything at all. And we just managed to scrape up an old tarpaulin and pinned it to the same end in the side. And turned the tank sideways on so that it taken a shot. It was coming your way. One or two shots came your way. And then eventually I got my own tank back.
People, who was firing at me? Could you tell who was firing at you?
Well, it wasn't your ones anyway. the thing that amazed me was watching the Airbus. There was time to go off at so many feet above the air.
German Airbus.
Aye.
Anything else about Sher? You were there about, it was there about two or three days, weren't you?
Right. Then we moved.
And did, is this when, I'm wondering when Bert Meyer claimed his hit?
Well, it was later on that I remember.
Okay, that's fine. Sorry, yeah. So, sure, you'd driven about a bit, you'd had this stall in, but nothing, you hadn't been in action much. You'd been under fire rather than you firing. And then the next thing, were you involved when they were moving forward onto Hill 0.112?
0.112, I remember that.
What do you remember of that?
I was sitting on top of there.
Do you remember how you got up there first?
I don't remember what I was getting up, but one of the crew had to keep awake at night. It was at night. So the Germans were supposed to be going to make a move. Was it near the River Oden?
You had to cross the River Oden, that's right, yeah.
We only got across. And we had to bail out at night. Panic.
While you were up there, were you attacked at all?
I'll tell you one thing, what we could hear. Could hear the shells for some of the war fighters, some of the big ships. 15 shells, you could feel them as they were going all far from it, they were going all over your head. It was just like an express train rushing through the air.
Now that's near the airfield. Is this where the...
No, okay.
Yeah. Right. And anything else happened while you were up there?
I had to bail out. And I went and took my boots off.
What do you mean you had to bail out?
Well, when you see the tank in front of you, they move, you have to force to fall out.
So you don't mean you had to get out of the tank?
No, you
had to bail out of that position, right.
I just seen it disappearing and I had my boots off because my feet were over and I had to drive the tank with my top shoulder. And luckily I managed to catch up with the tank in front because there were no lights. You just had a wee light underneath the back end that you could see. And that was...
What, on the end?
On the back underneath. So they couldn't see it.
So they were pulling back across the Oden, weren't they?
We thought they were attacking.
But they weren't?
No. And we went right back to regroup. And
were you under fire as you pulled out?
No, it was at night time. Can't remember what time it was, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Now, when you had a lager, a nighttime lager, what would happen at one of them? A typical one?
Well, mainly your lager was... After it was dark, the first thing you did was load up with ammunition and load up with petrol. That was the first thing you did, and then get a meal.
How would you load it with petrol? Was it in cans?
Jerry cans, useless.
Why were they useless?
Because they lost more petrol.
They leaked?
Oh, they leaked. And then you managed to get a filler with a tube tray, and you laid it with your stomach. And you cooked your thumbs there, you just punched a hole in it and cooked upside down and put it in that way and filled. I forget how much petrol was there. It was 100 gallon or something on one side and so much less on the other side. That was the big fault of the Sherman. Your petrol tanks were lying on the top of your tracks. You had no protection in the side. If the Americans had pulled that bit in, the tanks wouldn't have worked. whenever I see a wet thing, I better tank first. There's a concussion over there.
Did you, after being in action, did you put some old tank tracks on the front and on the side? Because some crews did, didn't they?
Did that,
you didn't bother?
I thought that they would actually let them get ahead. See, because your car, ballistic cap on your shell, it's supposed to hit, and the outer cap sticks, and the rail shock goes in. I never bothered with that.
So you thought it'd make it worse?
The only thing I got was I got the mechanics to weld a bracket on the front. About a big bracket. They put one on to hold, to support the barrel again. And later on...
To support the
barrel, you know, with the big long...
The 17 pounder, yeah.
Aye.
Why was that?
Well, it was taking the weight off it. See, the weight was all on the mechanism inside the tank to hold it up. And later on, they got me one off a tiger, one of a real clip. They could put it on and took the gun, put a valve for both of them
down. Now, what's the next thing you remember?
Well, the next thing is so John Gomer was there, and he got out his tank, and he walked up the front and had a look around all the place. He never got out of the ship. He was saying, oh. And he got back in his tank, and we were up there, and it was night time. And this was the first time I really remember him firing the gun. And whenever you fired it, you had to put your tank in reverse and turn left. They turned right to get, so they did. They see the muzzle flash. It was about 12 foot long. That was the muzzle flash. That was what it did.
What was it like in the tank when the 17 pound?
It rocked.
What was the noise like?
Oh, there was crack. It rocked.
What was it like in the tank anyway? You know, well, when you were there for a long time.
It was cold.
Cold? What? Even in summer?
Aye, because you're a fan about this height. It would draw all the air attached to the engine, and it drew all the air vents in the tank. There were all the cold air coming in. It was worse still if you were next to a cow that was very cold, and it burst open. Through the smell coming in, coming right in through the tank, you smelled it.
Was it noisy in the tank? Normally?
No, they never really bothered much. I know most of the instruments used to say I wouldn't go in there for 10 pounds.
Why didn't they like it?
Because you were enclosed. And I said I wouldn't have used your wear.
Did you feel claustrophobic? Yeah. You were enclosed as well.
I'm inclined to be claustrophobic, but I never felt that way in the time.
Because if you had the hatch above your head, didn't you?
No.
But if the gun was in a certain place, you couldn't get out of that, could you?
That's right. Your bits cut in the cage, and your turret that you could get through, or some of the spaces in the bits that you could get through there.
What about the one below, the base plate?
You never get that.
Why not? Because that was meant to be your escape hatch, wasn't it?
That had something to do with the 17 pound ammunition.
Right, so that wasn't away with for you, right.
No, there were two or three drivers were caught with a gun over the hat. They couldn't get it.
Now, what were you firing at that night?
There was a Panther.
And how did you come up? Did you know what was happening? Or
well, we knew it was there.
And where?
Well, in the distance. And I'm sure Bert hit it. I'm not sure, but I think he hit it.
What makes you think that?
He hit it on the start ring.
You thought you saw it?
I thought you had.
And what happened next? I mean, any sign to the crew?
Whenever we let that one go, I reversed back through the road so they wouldn't see where the flash was through the bit.
And did you see the Panther again or
no,
no sign of it?
No.
And any other fighting in that period do you remember?
No, no, really. We were only once, I think, or twice. We were the leading squadron.
What did you think of Gilmore in action? Because, you know, you've been with him all these years.
He was good.
Did you think more of him when you saw him then?
He never was feared, frightened, or nothing. He'd get you to stand and have a look on the ground. Just like that.
What about a couple of other officers you might have heard of? What about Workman, Charlie Workman? Did you hear of him?
No, he was in my day.
And Scott Brownlee, I know he wasn't your squadron, but whether you knew much of him? No.
I can't remember any of that.
Yeah, that's all right.
My troop leader.
Your troop leader was?
With a boat PC squadron, came as an officer, and he stayed with us at the time. Can't remember any of that.
But you thought the officers did all right, from the sound of it?
Aye. That's what you had to do. The sergeants were pretty good there.
Now, what's the next thing you remember? Would the next thing be the big battle at on the 18th, or is there anything before then?
I don't remember much. I remember that day anyway.
Now, some people have said before that the drive, when they had the drive up, they got dust in their eyes. Is that when you got the dust in your eyes?
I wouldn't have been in my goggles because it's too dark, I couldn't see.
Was that on that drive round to Goodwood?
When we've seen the places, they go to...
What was the drive like then, and why was it so bad in your eyes?
Because the Sherman tank, the exhaust pipe comes down at the back and down and hits the ground, and all the dust comes up. And you can't avoid it, you can't see. And you had to be close to the tank in front so you could see where you're going and follow it.
And how did it affect you?
The very next day, I couldn't open my eyes. And the funny thing, that day was the day that St. John's son was born. And we all got a bottle of beer. I remember that. It was the beginning of July. And his son, in fact, he was born then.
And then what's that was, you'd moved round to the concentration area,
right.
And then the next day there was the battle, wasn't it? Would that be right?
Something like that. I forget. I remember we were at Kilpeaky Aerodrome for a wee while.
Oh, you were telling me a story about that. That's what happened there.
You were told anyone found eating new potatoes would be court martialed.
Why?
Because they exposed themselves to the 88s and they were shooting across all the time. And then they saw you, they let one go. And you knew it was coming. I never heard a crack like that in my life. An 88 shoes went. That's as much as I can remember about that.
Did you actually go and get some potatoes?
I've got some for somebody or something like that.
But you weren't fired at?
No.
What about the 88? What, was it as bad as they reckoned?
Correct. Which we had a... squeeze, it was a squeeze in. Not a velocity.
And it was better than your guns?
Okay.
Any of them?
Well, I mean, the 76 wasn't fired, but...
Did you reckon on the Tigers and Panthers being so much better than the Sherman as well?
No, I never really had much to do with them. I've seen them, and they had a 76 millimeter gun.
Which? The Panthers?
Aye. And they're a weak point, as far as I know, the turret. But they come back to Kilpeaky Aerodrome. We were the artillery was next door to us, at SAI Romilly, and they were firing off 25 pounders, and you were trying to sleep at night. And luckily, I had a deaf ear, and I used to get onto my deaf ear, and that was that. But It was fun all night long. Because they know that time in Louisiana is at the same time as now, certain times of morning.
Now, what about Goodwood itself, the 18th of July? What's the first thing you remember? Were you briefed at all about what was to happen?
When you it was mostly flood that day, as far as I know. I was waiting the next to get moving, and I knew that was 18th of July with population Goodwood, and there.
What briefing did you get? Anything else? Told what you were doing? Now, the minefield's meant to have held up your division. I mean, meant to have held up your regiment much. Were you aware of much trouble getting through the minefield?
I just thought that it was taped, white tape, on either side, and you went through it. And I got through it. And nothing happened. And I saw somewhere support group in front of the reconnaissance. The second North Hatch Germany were in front of it. They were supposed to be a sort of reconnaissance outfit. And they got this bandit after that. They made.
Why? Then
there were too many of them that was dark for lust. Because I read the thing with Boot about tanks and guns or tanks for me. And he told me, I found out through that the second North Arts was amalgamated into the first North Arts because I went in for them left.
Now, B Squad was on the left in the leading ways.
You couldn't tell.
What do you remember happening? Because you went off, it's early morning, set off at. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing about everything is, any time I was in action, I thought we were the only ones that were there. You didn't think it was somebody either side of you.
Did you not see anybody, or did you just feel on your own?
You just felt you were on your own, everybody.
And you didn't see anyone either?
And after I passed through the minefield, I don't know much about it, I passed through it, going over this railway.
And this is the first railway?
Aye.
You haven't been over another one, because I think there's two, but...
Well, I maybe went over the second one, I don't know. I went over the railway to go over the other side, and I never heard the band, but the start rocked a bit. And I said, there's no one there, there's Germans, right? Because there was no start in front of me. And
so you thought it was done by your own artillery. Can you explain that a bit?
We were going forward on the Cleveland barrage. We're supposed to lift every so many minutes, or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, sorry. And I knew it wouldn't win a general one because it's to the back. It dropped short, and it blew everything off the back of the tank. It couldn't have hit us, but I threw them off. But the blast went in through the front air vent and smacked into the rail cooler, because the rail cooler was along the front. And I saw the light coming on. And I said, Jack, rail cooler away.
Now, what was it? The old colour. That meant it might catch fire.
No, well, it might catch fire, but it meant anything would maybe seize up. And I said to Jack, the old colour's away. And he said, get out and find out. I said, Ernest, what's going on with the way here? I said, wait a minute. And then I go out for that. And I look at him there. There's nothing on the back at all.
So you waited until the immediate firing had stopped?
Right.
It was all clear, the back then. It was all stripped off.
Nothing left. When they see any marks now, the oil cooler was you could see where it had been burst. And pickaxes and shovels and netting and everything was all away.
Now, how were all the rest of the crew? They were all right?
They were all right. That was only to them inside the crew was it. That bit that came through Jack Triscuit's map board, he had his thing open and he was looking at the map. He felt it hit it, and there was something hit it. And there was two phosphorus grenades on the side of the wall of Tark, and one man that he was, you know, I found out where it was, I think it was up there.
So it's a bit of shrapnel hit the map board and a little bit between the grenades. What happened next then? How were you feeling? Could you have carried on? I mean,
well, I was glad I didn't carry
on. Well, would the engine have gone without the oil cooler, or it would have seized up?
It would have seized up eventually.
So who decided what to do? Did they radio in?
They radioed in, and I don't know what time they...
To Gilmore? Or to...
To base or whatever it was. The ARV come and took us back. I don't know what time of day it was.
Were you under fire at all during that period?
No, they were further on. And when I got back, when they took us back there, they were now they're dropping down tanks, they brought them back to this one place.
Now, had you seen anything of the battlefield? You said you were on your... But did you see any... Because there were so many 5 and 4 foot tanks blown up that day, but did you see any of them?
I don't remember.
You just saw the wrecked tanks back at the glider field?
They were either wrecked or accident. Or engines were not or something. I never saw any more of them. But they took them all back to the glider field.
That's at Ranfield. Ranville, rather.
I don't know the name of it, but that's where we went back to. And then I was outside my tank, and it was getting dark, and I just looked up and I said, "What's that?" And they dropped a couple of flares.
The Germans did?
I don't know what kind of flare it was, but it was a 109 or what. And they started bombing us with 500 pounders. And the next thing I knew was that Wallace was hitting ahead. He was in front. I was in the middle. I got hit there, and there, right in the back.
So, two wounds in the right leg, one in the left, and your wrist and your back. Now, why didn't you take cover? Could you just explain that for us?
I couldn't get under my own tank. I was running to get under the back of the tank. And the three of us together.
Was that Wallace?
He's got hit in the head.
Now who's Wallace? He's
that's the boy that's up in the Tatum Tin Hill, the boy that he's in the top.
That's right, sorry, yeah. Alec Wallace, yeah. From a different tank, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
He was a driver for one of the other tank crews.
So you weren't with members of your crew, it was just, you were walking up with Wallace and the troop commander, you don't remember his name. And what happened when you were hit? You ran to your tank, you couldn't get in there, so what did you do?
I tried to crawl underneath and my legs were hanging out. And you could hear a machine gun. And with a blow in the back, I thought my legs were away. I couldn't move.
So you, what were you hit by? Off a bomb.
Right.
And how did you feel immediately? I mean, did it hurt straight away?
I'd say, if you ever heard folks saying their life flat in front of them, that did with me. Pictures. It's like pictures.
Really?
Aye. I thought it was away.